from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Coming up on today's show, we're going to do another Q&A, so thank you to everyone who submitted questions. The first question comes from Davis Chili, who says, "What do you see as the biggest need on our 26-man roster this year? And what are two or three moves you would consider to address them?" So the first thing I want to say really quickly is that I was surprised looking over how the pitching staff shakes out, that there aren't a lot of spots right now where I can find an obvious need to upgrade. That being said, I don't think they're a great pitching staff, but what they do seem to offer is a group of 13 pitchers where it's not obvious who you would want to replace. So in this question, I'm going to talk about the dynamic of how having 13 pitchers all season long can affect the way they construct their pitching staff. And I think traditional roles of five starters and seven or eight relievers is going to be thrown out to an extent. When you have 13 pitchers all year long, it can allow you to roll with a six-man rotation. It can allow you to piggyback starters. And I think that there's a distinct possibility that we're going to see those types of strategies from the Giants. But looking at who I consider their best 13 pitchers right now, in the quote-unquote starting rotation, you've got Kevin Gausman, Tyler Anderson, Johnny Cueto, Logan Webb, Tyler Beede, and Jeff Samardzija. So that's six guys right there. So you could roll with a six-man rotation, or you could, you know, have several of those guys, including Logan Webb, Tyler Beede, perhaps a Tyler Anderson coming off an injury, and instead of expecting them to go six or seven innings a night, you try to get them to go three or four innings and pitch a little bit more often. And then in the bullpen, they have guys who could come in following a shortened start like that, for example, Sean Anderson. So in the bullpen, I've got them having Sean Anderson, Tyler Rogers, Trevor Gott, Yandel Gustave, Tony Watson, Sam Coonrod, and Wandy Peralta. So that's 13 guys right there. The only kind of obvious names where you might feel like you want to upgrade in a big way might be Yandel Gustave, Sam Coonrod, and Wandy Peralta. But Gustave and Coonrod pitched quite well for the Giants last season, and Wandy Peralta has some interesting characteristics, gets a lot of swinging strikes on his changeup and his slider. So all that to say, I'm a little bit surprised by how complete the pitching staff looks. Not to say they're great again, but also everybody's providing some value in the role that they figure to be in. So I'm not going to address that as one of their biggest needs right now. I think that those lie elsewhere. So right now, they are lacking a left-handed hitting infielder capable of playing third and second. They've got Brandon Crawford at short. I suppose he could move around, but he never has. So I think they have a real need for someone who can play second and play third and hit from the left side. So, of course, they could address this via free agency or trade. And there aren't a ton of great options in free agency. I think the best fit is Asdrubal Cabrera, who is a valuable enough player. But he's 34 years old and doesn't feel like a long-term fit for a roster like the Giants have. So in all of these cases, I think the preference is always going to be to bring someone in through a trade like they did targeting Will Wilson in the Zach Cozart deal. If they could do another move like that, where they get a young left-handed hitting infielder, I think they would love to do that. That being said, Asdrubal Cabrera, if they aren't able to swing a trade for that exact profile, I think he would be a good fit. He would make them better, and it would probably only take a one-year commitment. He plays second, he plays third, and he's a switch hitter. He doesn't really have platoon splits. Other options in free agency, Brock Holt, Brad Miller, and Neil Walker. I don't think any are terribly exciting, but you do like the versatility of someone like Brock Holt and Miller to an extent. So that's one big need, left-handed hitting infielder who can play second and third. I think the other big need is in the outfield. Right now, they're kind of guys in the mix. Projected starters would probably be Alex Dickerson, Mike Yastrzemski, and Jaylen Davis. There are all kinds of reasons that you would like to upgrade from those guys as your starters. Dickerson has the injury risk. Yastrzemski has the short-term success risk, meaning you don't know for sure what you're going to get from him. And Jaylen Davis is totally unproven and struggled in the majors in his debut in 2019. So beyond that, on the bench, they figured to have Steven Duggar and Austin Slater. So that's a very unproven and questionable outfield. So I think they'd like to add at least one outfielder where you can bump one of those guys off the major league roster. It might be Austin Slater. And then suddenly everybody shifts back, especially if the outfielder you acquire becomes one of your better outfielders. So then all of a sudden your starting outfield is good new outfielder, Yastrzemski, and then Dickerson and Davis, maybe whoever's healthy and maybe in a platoon situation. They'd like to have more flexibility and options there. So there are a number of impact offensive outfielders. I do think that they'd like to find one who's right-handed, given that so many of their outfielders are left-handed. I think Nick Castellanos is a tremendous fit. I talked about this just the other day. But he's so young, you're going to get prime years out of him. He showed improvement defensively with continued reps in the outfield. The Cubs liked his defense when they changed his pre-pitch positioning. I think a 5 or 6 year deal even for Castellanos, assuming that AAV is not too high, could make a lot of sense for the Giants. And as I said the other day, if the DH comes to the NL, then he's a guy who you would feel very comfortable slotting in down the road. Other available free agents who fit this mold, Steven Souza, Yasiel Puig, Marcell Ozuna, and Domingo Santana. So this is where I'm going to say that the idea of trading for an expensive contract in order to buy young players might make the most sense. And someone who really stands out here for me right now is Will Myers on the San Diego Padres. Padres have been public about their desire to rid themselves of that contract. He's owed $68.5 million over the next 3 seasons. That's $22.8 million per year, which is hefty. I mean, if the Giants were willing to take that on, especially if they took on the whole thing, they could ask for a lot in return. And the Padres are motivated to move him. I don't know if they're interested in doing so and giving the Giants good prospects, a team in their own division who figures to be on the rise and competitive with them in years to come. But the Giants have the financial power to do this and the desire to rebuild faster. And so taking on a big contract like that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. And he's a guy who could complement Brandon Belt at first base at times as a right-handed hitter, you know, complementing the lefty Belt. And he also has been very adequate as a left fielder in his career. So I think you could kill 3 birds with 1 stone here by acquiring Will Myers, potentially. If you take on that contract, I think you can get the Padres to give you potentially Ty France, who had just a ridiculous season in the minors in 2019, had a 196 weighted runs created plus in AAA, 27 homers in 76 games, slugged 770 with a 477 on base percentage, 372 isolated power, and only struck out 15% of the time. And Ty France is a second baseman / third baseman. Only thing is he does bat and throw right-handed, so he's not the lefty that the Giants would be seeking necessarily, but he does fit at those positions of need. And I think beyond that, you can ask for more than just Ty France if you're taking on the entirety of that deal for Will Myers. You start looking at Luis Patino, Taylor Trammell, CJ Abrams, Xavier Edwards, all of whom are top 100 prospects. I really do feel like the Giants could land one of them if they're agreeing to relieve the Padres of that much salary. So a move like that probably makes the most sense for the Giants organization at this point in time. The Padres have such a deep system that they could afford potentially to part ways with 1 or 2 of their good prospects if they think it helps them add in the short term, especially if they're trading away guys who they think are relatively far away. Lastly, I'll just say I also think the Giants could definitely afford to add some upside in their minor league system in the starting rotation. They don't have a lot of really good prospects coming on the pitching side. They've got a lot of interesting position player prospects, but adding someone like Patino would be a huge get for them. That said, I don't know exactly how realistic that is. It's really hard to quantify the value the Giants would be giving the Padres by taking on almost $70 million owed to Will Myers over the next 3 years. So other trade possibilities include, you know, I think the Yankees are a good fit. I think Clint Frazier would make a lot of sense in a salary dump deal. But the Yankees have been very hesitant to trade Frazier. But who knows, given, you know, he's a flawed player defensively, so I'm not exactly sure why they're so high on Clint Frazier, especially because they don't play him. And their outfield is stacked and full with Aaron Judge and Stanton and Brett Gardner and Aaron Hicks that will be back eventually. So Clint Frazier is very much expendable to them. Another guy who's obviously interesting is Miguel Andujar. Anyway, that took up a lot of our time. In the second half of the show, we're going to address a very interesting question about Tyler Beede, prospect who will impact the Giants in 2020, and more questions if we have time. So that's all coming up next. But first, okay, as promised, here in the second half of the show, I want to address several questions, so we'll have to be a little shorter than we were for the first one. Steve Svensson says, I'm not a big Beede guy. He looks like a reliever to me who should be throwing his fastball and slider exclusively. This article that he links to might point towards a different path to effectiveness as a starter, though, and I wanted to hear your take. So this is an article that came out today on pitcherlist.com. And it's a fascinating read, and I recommend that everybody check it out. It's called Going Deep, Tyler Beede Has Flashed Some Promise, written by Michael Aheto. So it's really too much to summarize and break down in answering one question here. There's so much information in the article. But the gist of it is, I think we all probably remember that Tyler Beede had his best outing of the year in his last outing of the year. He went 3 innings and struck out 7. I believe it was 3 perfect innings. And ended up leaving with a mild strain. I think it was like an oblique or a back. Anyway, it was something that was mild, so it's not a serious injury, and he very much ended the season on a good note there. So Eno Saris of The Athletic talked to Tyler Beede, who said that he had shortened his arm path in the back and threw some footballs and saw a velocity increase. He also started working north and south in the zone more than east and west, meaning up and down, throwing high fastballs and low breaking balls. Especially in that last start of the year, he threw his fastball higher than at any point in his entire career on average. So the point is made that that plays really well with his off-speed stuff, specifically the curveball. And that is the trend in the game, high fastballs and low breaking balls. Also pointed out in the article is the fact that Beede is one of just 5 pitchers who had 3 pitches with a minimum of 200 thrown that produced a swinging strike rate of at least 15%. Beede achieved this on his slider, changeup, and curveball. That said, as they point out, having swinging strike rates on your pitches that are north of 15% doesn't necessarily make them a great pitch if they're getting hammered when batters are making contact. But it does mean that the pitches have promise. And I think that that's a safe conclusion for Beede. To me, just witnessing him pitching, his issue is when he leaves pitches over the middle of the plate. There is some evidence that he was unlucky, especially with his changeup, where the results were really poor, but the quality of contact based on launch angles and exit velocities was much lower. So there's a lot to suggest that he was unlucky with his changeup. I like him in a role that is more than just like a one-inning reliever. But as we said early on in the show, I think that those roles around the game, and specifically now with the Giants, are going to be thrown out the window and changed dramatically starting in 2020. So someone like Tyler Beede, as we saw, 3 innings, perfect innings, 7 Ks. Perhaps instead of hoping for 200 innings from Tyler Beede, the Giants will hope for 120 innings where he goes 3 or 4 innings at a time, making 30 to 40 appearances a year. And I think in that role where he just lets loose, as opposed to conserving his stuff and, you know, pitching to contact like he used to. You know, he used to throw the sinker a lot, and now it's like up in the zone with 4-seamers, down in the zone with the off-speed stuff. I liked what I saw developmentally from Beede, and he was able to command the zone a little bit more, and I think that's a very good sign. If he can just learn to trust his stuff and just fill up the zone with it, I think there's a real potential for a breakout. And so in the right hands, and the Giants have this dynamic coaching staff that is very player development focused, I think that there's a real chance that they could do wonders for Tyler Beedy. Really quickly, Drew Hopkins says, which prospects will make the biggest impact on the Major League club in 2020? Name three. So I assume by prospect you mean people who still have rookie eligibility, in which case I'm going to go with Mauricio Dubon, Logan Webb, and Joey Bart. Now, it was hard to not say Jalen Davis. They seem to be very high on Jalen Davis, but he definitely struggled big time in 2019 in the majors. They seem to think that he's just a few tweaks away from being potentially an impact power threat at the plate. But, you know, we haven't seen it yet, so it's hard to kind of say he's going to have the biggest impact. But I wouldn't be surprised if it does happen. Joey Bart is coming in 2020, and I think that, you know, he has as good of a chance as any Giants prospect to be the most impactful in years to come. And then I just like the kind of overall package of Mauricio Dubon, and I think if he moves around, plays short, plays center, and plays those positions adequately or even well, he's going to provide some defensive value, and his hit tool is advanced, and I think that he could hit, you know, for average and on base percentage, and showed some pop and some speed projected by Steamer for double-digit homers and steals in 2020. And I like Logan Webb quite a bit. I was very impressed by him in flashes when he debuted last year. Okay, unfortunately, that is all the time we have for today. There were several other really good questions that I wish I had had a chance to address. I'm sure, you know, maybe next week we'll be able to go back and cover some of those questions. Remember to get this show every weekday. You need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Caspick. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again on Monday, and until then, we'll see you next time.